Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Beginning Saturday night, November 7th, the Waterfront Theatre on Granville Island will play host to Death in a Dumpster, the musical. This is a world premiere of an original musical based on a short play by noted Vancouver-based anti-poverty activist and playwright Sheila Baxter. It explores and contextualizes the root causes of homelessness. The work has been collaboratively written, composed, and will be performed by a group of street-involved youth actors whose raw skill has been honed through mentorship, encouragement, and guidance from distinguished professionals, including composer Neil Wiesenthal, most recently of Vancouver Opera's Stick Boy fame. The organization behind the innovative effort is Access to Music Foundation. Trinity is a youth leader in the show, and Kelly Davis is a stage manager and a mentor for the production. And Trinity and Kelly are here with me in the studio. Hello, both of you.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming down. Now, Trinity, I understand that the seed of the idea that resulted in creating a musical started with you. So I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to take me back to the time when this idea got hatched. What was going on?
It was actually like 2 years ago. I was doing a mural with my art class, and we ran into Sheila Baxter, and she was like really like stoked about what we were doing. And she said she had a script that she wrote, and she told us that if we wanted to, we can put it on. And I thought this would be like a fun thing for me and like some of the other youth at Directions to do. And yeah, so we started holding like, you know, read-throughs in the media room. And yeah, eventually it gained momentum, and we got people from Vancouver Opera, specifically Elka Yarlow. And yeah, she was like really ecstatic for this play. And so now it's become like this big thing. So
that's great. Now, I understand that when it started out, you guys were already involved in writing music.
Well, I wasn't. I don't actually write music or anything, but I was connected with AnotherSlice.ca. It's a blog site for the youth at Directions. Yeah, so there's a lot of writing and poetry and whatever.
So how did those two ideas come together, like the play, which you talked about, and then making it a musical?
So I guess to kind of contextualize it a little bit, all of the youth that are currently in the production are with Directions Youth Service, which is part of Family Services, and they're all part of the media room, which our producer Colin Ford heads, and is part of another slice.ca. So the media room is an awesome resource inside Directions that has video games, guitars, recording studio. So just a place for youth to come and like express themselves, which is how I got involved as well, volunteering there. So I guess kind of the component there was just a lot of people are really musically talented and oriented. And just then when Elka became involved in the piece with an access to music component, just seemed natural to kind of open it up and add like a musical component to it.
Now, I understand that Sheila's play is a little bit maybe dated in terms of the language that it used. What was that like taking a play that she wrote in a different context and sort of turning it into your musical?
Well, she actually gave me permission to have complete creative control over it, and she even told me like if I wanted to add in like actual swear words, go right ahead, because like she used like friggin' a lot. Me and Colin, we went over the script and we just started like crossing things out and rewriting it.
Can you give me an example of something that you might have found like, oh no, we're not saying that?
There was one line in there because one of the characters has HIV, and another character says to him like, oh, don't worry, Danny, having HIV doesn't make you a queer. And we're like, yeah, we can't have that in the play.
So tell me about the story that runs through Death in a Dumpster.
Danny is from the Maritimes, Nova Scotia, and he just finds out he has HIV, and he travels across Canada all the way to Vancouver looking for his mom, and he ends up on the street, and he makes a group of friends, and yeah, it's just about you know, what happens in a short time in Vancouver.
Okay, death in a dumpster sounds ominous to me. Does it actually take place in a dumpster?
In an alleyway, and the dumpster is going to be like in the middle of the stage.
So what is a day of rehearsing or collaborating on the play? What does that look like?
Well, right now we're doing 2 days a week from 10 to 4. And yeah, people usually like come in a little bit late and we have coffee, muffins, and then we go straight into running the play. And then we have a lunch break and then we do it again.
And what kind of special challenges do the youth members of the cast face? Because this is like, you're not doing it in a high school production, right? It's like street-involved youth, and yeah, you're coming in, and there's obviously some challenges there. What would you say are the kinds of challenges that the group faces coming to a regular collaboration and rehearsal two days a week?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that are challenging for the youth to just get there sometimes, you know, just in terms of just very simply just getting out of bed sometimes is just hard. And I think any person can understand that, especially in terms of challenging yourself to open up, take risks, be seen, be heard in these ways that maybe you're not used to. People are obviously dealing with like past traumas, especially that are going to come up with dealing with this kind of material. So that's been something to navigate for sure and be sensitive to. And then obviously there's like mental health issues, poverty, homelessness, addiction problems. Like it just goes on and on. So it's always a challenge every day, but.
For you, Trinity, were you involved with any theater things before this one?
No, not since like grade 8.
And what would you say, like working with a group of people who have kind of experienced some of the issues that you're seeing in the play, maybe not those issues directly? What's it like, kind of, you know, workshopping on that with people who really, you know, those did the issues resonate with people?
Well, I actually gave all of our youth actors like complete control over their own characters, so they got to really put in a lot of their own story into the role a bit. Yeah, so we've had a lot of fun with that, I think.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And Kelly, what kind of supports or services have the organizations behind the project been able to provide for use as they develop the play?
We provide like snacks in the morning, coffee, food, like make sure everyone's fed. Even before this was like going to the Waterfront, the theater group was always like an incentive to participate, was like chips and soda. I mean, beyond that, there's a lot of counseling support, like, and a lot of checking in all the time. And just, you know, we're constantly checking in with people because it's kind of like, you know, a lot of us are really used to the like professional side where it's like, all right, come on, let's go. But then, you know, if you just remember to take a moment and be like, how are you doing today? You know, and like, make sure, because, you know, these youth are facing challenges that people don't face on a daily basis. So, you know, just the fact of them showing up, and sometimes everyone comes with like good spirits and a smile on their face just because they have to.
And I have a question I'm going to ask both of you. What surprised you most about being involved in this project?
I would say how the youth have stepped up from like when we first started rehearsing to now, and how like dedicated and committed they are to it and to their roles. It's just like, it was amazing to see that like transition.
Tell me more about that. What did you see?
Well, like, you know, these youth are street involved, so they're dealing with like daily struggles, like, you know, finding places to sleep, eat, you know, whatever they have going on, their mental health and so on. Yeah, so there'd be times where they wouldn't make rehearsal or consistently be late or not learning their lines. And like two months before now, I guess, people have like really stepped up and everybody's learned all their lines and everyone shows up on time and is there both days of the week. And it's really awesome.
Yeah, I would echo Trinity's statement. Just it's been unbelievable the amount of strides that I've personally seen. And I think personally, the takeaway from it is seeing people who believe they can't do something achieve that in a very short time period and achieve that for themselves too. Like, not, it's not really for anyone else or to make anyone happy. And that's always what I try to kind of illustrate or communicate, is that it's not for anyone else. It's for yourself to achieve. And, you know, instead of saying can't, you should say, I don't feel like I can right now, or I don't feel I'm able to, or, you know, instead of blocking those things from yourself, because I think that that is definitely a problem that happens, especially if you're living in poverty or something, is feeling like you're not able to achieve, or you're not able to move out of the circumstance that you're in. But if you can kind of get small goals that are undone in that way and move forward, you know, just build so much confidence. I've seen so much confidence increase. You know, it helps with people's depressions and other things that they're going through, and just help them get their minds off of all the other stuff they have to go through every day.
Sounds like the play and the work that you're doing together has already had a really big impact on the group itself and on you know, on individuals in the group. What impact do you hope that will have for audiences who come to see it at the Waterfront?
Well, I'm hoping we could just, like, bring awareness to some of the issues with being, like, street involvement, and hopefully, like, change some of their perspectives, because there's, like, a lot of stigmas attached to, like, you know, certain things like mental health and addictions and being homeless, and yeah, so that's all I hope for.
Yeah, I just to bring awareness to the barriers that exist in society between, you know, the classes pretty much, and just the struggles that people have had to go through that I don't think people outside of that sphere have any concept of how difficult it is and how much of a trap it is to be stuck, you know, either on welfare or in disability, or you're homeless and you're trying to find a home, but it's so hard to get a place. You're 21 years old, you have no money, you have no home, you have no phone. How are you supposed to move out of this circumstance when, you know, a lot of people don't see those struggles? And especially if you've come out of foster care or out of an addiction or are still experiencing your addiction, all these other barriers to you, sometimes it seems like an impossible feat. So just the amount of respect that I have for all the youth is like unquantifiable, you know, because it just takes so much courage to do that every day.
Well, I really appreciate both of your coming here, and I look forward and encourage people to go to the Waterfront Theater and see the play and break a leg, guys.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Kelly Davis and with Trinity. Kelly is a stage manager and a mentor, and Trinity is a youth leader and actor in Death in a Dumpster, the musical. Death in a Dumpster plays from November 7th to 16th at the Waterfront Theater. And you can find out more on the website that they mentioned at deathinadumpster.ca.